As we've all seen way too often, freedom and liberty in many countries can quickly be replaced with tyranny and persecution. Now, watching this happen from the outside can and should sicken you. Actually being held captive by it, your days are numbered literally and figuratively. My next guest heads an organization which has repeatedly rescued Americans and American allies from these punishing and even deadly situations. The team just returned this past week from Afghanistan after another of their many successful rescue missions. Here with the details about the work of Project Dynamo and how you can join their team with your support is their founder, Brian Stern. How are you today, Brian?
Good. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for everything that you're doing. As the person listening is going to quickly learn, it is a valuable effort by you and your team. ProjectDynamo.org is the website where you can find out more. And as I said, become part of the team with your help. We have that link at our homepage as well. So just as a starting overview, Brian, what's the goal? What's the mission of Project Dynamo?
Project Dynamo is a donor-funded, veteran-led international rescue organization. We work in what we call the gray space, which is wherever the government isn't. So like in Afghanistan, because they left, or during Hurricane Ian, until they showed up. We were there. We were first in the water and did a lot of things there. Or if they're never going to come at all, like in Ukraine, they're never going to send a SEAL team to go rescue an American in Ukraine. That's not going to happen. Or in places like Russia and some other locations where the diplomatic relationship is so bad or not functional, where we have freedom of maneuver and freedom to operate, where the diplomatic core can't, for whatever the reasons are, due to the relationship. So we call it the gray space. We're not a replacement for the government. We work where they're not. There is no U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan. There's just now, recently, U.S. Embassy Kiev in Ukraine just opened up a few weeks ago. But we've been working in all these places for months and months and months and months in Afghanistan, in the case of Afghanistan, for over a year and a half.
Now, how does our government look upon Project Dynamo? Because I was reading your story, looking at your background and your accomplishments. Maybe think back way back when the Guardian Angels first launched in New York City. And obviously they were filling the void where the police could not, or in some cases refused to go to, but they were getting pushback from City Hall and NYPD back in the day. So how do the federal government and Dynamo coexist? Is it hopefully positive?
It's a complicated relationship, to say the least. I would not characterize it as a bad relationship. The deal is that at the individual level, we have tremendous relationships. We have really good friends at State Department, great consular affairs contacts within DOD, within different agencies, within all over the place. But at the institutional level, it is a challenge because we don't fit into the construct, which makes any bureaucracy timid or kind of react in a not necessarily bad way, but they don't really know how to react. And because of the way that we do things at Project Dynamo, the things that we do really haven't been done before. And I'll give you a good example. There was a case that we worked that we called Detroit Lions for an American citizen named Kirill Alexandrov from Detroit, Michigan. He was arrested for espionage by Russian intelligence, charged with 11 felonies for espionage and spying and all this kind of stuff. He was completely innocent. He had nothing to do with anything. And we broke him out of jail. That's never really been done by a donor-funded NGO before. The Red Cross doesn't do that sort of thing. So some of the things that we do, we're kind of breaking new territory in many regards. And one of the things that makes Dynamo a little bit different than many other organizations is that we do the operations ourselves. If you go to projectdynamo.org, which is the place you can donate, you can also see some of our postings, videos, and social media stuff. When you see the ugly guy with the salt and pepper beard and the beanie hat, that's me. So we do the ops ourselves. We don't really outsource or anything like that. We're not a coordination. We do these things ourselves, and that, again, never really been done before in that kind of way. So from the government perspective, it's not that they're angry or mad or anything. They just kind of don't know how to react. it's more that than anything else.
It's sort of like, we're better off not knowing, but keep doing what you're doing.
Well, we telegraph our moves. So especially for American citizens, and we've done many, many, many of them in all over the world at this point, before I go and do an operation like Detroit Lions or Lone Star or Green Devil was another one, or Twin Cities is another one, or Rio Grande is another one. We have many of them, as you hear. I telegraph our moves. Because if the government is doing something on an American that's being unlawfully held or in a bad spot or behind enemy lines, they're better resourced than I ever will be. So I don't want to be in the way. So we transmit up. We say, this is what we're doing. This is what we have. This is what we. This is our plan. And I keep them informed. Generally speaking, they don't tell me anything, which is fine. I don't have a need to know, and I'm not government. So that it's appropriate that they don't share with us. That's okay, but we do deconflict heavily with them. There's never any surprises. They always know what we're doing way in advance, because if a SEAL team is going to go get this kid out, I don't want to be there too, because that would be bad, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be on the receiving end of SEAL sniper fire by accident, or if State Department or the intelligence community is working on a rescue, I don't want to mess that up. And honestly, I'd rather spend my money on things that they're not going to do than be duplicative. So right. we deconflict to the greatest extent possible. And so far, they've never said stop.
Which is a good thing. We're talking to Brian Stern, who is the founder of Project Dynamo. ProjectDynamo.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. How do you find these specific cases of, like, most recently, the seven American lawful permanent residents in Afghanistan? Is it something that's brought to your attention? I've seen on the website that if someone can, because in some cases you're placing your own life at risk just by going online and making your presence known. But how do you connect with these situations and know where to go and whether or not it's going to be possible?
So usually what happens is it's a family member who's not in danger. In this case, it was the father. It was the father of these American LPRs. They've been in hiding for months and months and months in eastern Afghanistan, pretty terrible. And it was the family who had reached out to us, which is very common. We saw that through Afghanistan, and we still see that in Afghanistan. We've seen that all through Ukraine, and we've also saw that during Hurricane Ian, where when we were rescuing people on Sanibel Island and Mount Lachey and some of those places, there was no power, no electric. So people couldn't even ask for help that needed the help. It was usually a family member that was on mainland or somewhere else that would say, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, whatever, this is where they are. We haven't heard from them in a couple of days. Can you please get them out? And then we would go and do some crazy tactics to rescue them.
It's got to be difficult too, because you can't come into a situation with, you know, the fireworks and everything going off. How much of a mission is built within the location where you're doing the deed?
No rescue. We've done over 400 operations. No two are the same, is what I'll say. It's like anything else. There's a lifespan of an operation. Even if it's the same location on the same day of the week, things are just different. What is true today may not be true tomorrow. That's true in Afghanistan. That's true in Ukraine. That's true in other places that we worked. True in Russia. And I'll give you an example. And we did an operation right before Thanksgiving. There were two American babies that were infants. They were 3 months old that were trapped in a Russian state-run orphanage. And we did this. It was our first operation inside Russia. We and the families from Texas, we do the operation and figured out a way to do this without breaking any Russian laws, which was kind of a miracle.
Yeah.
We did that, and then within 72 hours, Russia changed all the laws that allowed us to do what we needed to do. So what was true on Tuesday was false by Friday, as an example. And we see this all the time, all the time. Things change. The dynamics change. All these places are extremely volatile. Nothing is stable. Nothing is stable and nothing is reliable. So when we set conditions to do an operation, even though there's a recipe, there's always someone in a bad place that needs to get to someplace that's a good place. And there's always a mode of transportation and there's always problems on the ground. That's kind of the recipe generally. But just like making Thanksgiving dinner, the way you make Thanksgiving this year is different than the way you made it last year.
Yeah,
even though everyone eats turkey, it's still a different kind of show. It's a different kind of thing.
So for the person listening right now who is really into what you're doing and sees the obvious that it is a tremendous humanitarian effort, they go to ProjectDynamo.org. There's the donation page. What does their donation empower you and enable you? What are your needs that the donations help answer?
So bottom line is money makes the world go round. Either even things like fuel for our car, for our vehicles on the road in these different places, that costs money. Toilet paper costs money. Hotels cost money. Food costs money. COVID tests and COVID vaccines and polio shots and MMR shots and chickenpox shots, all of which I just had to do this week, that all cost money. Safe houses cost money. Airplanes cost money. All these things cost money. And also, sources cost money. We're a kind of intelligence-driven organization. We're not very tactical. I tell everyone, we're Donnie Brasco. We're not Lone Survivor. Not a lot of machine guns in the way that we do our stuff because we operate so deep behind enemy lines, we'll never survive if we get into a gunfight. This is not going to work. So we're a little darker when we do these things. And those sources who are saving American lives, they need to be paid too. So every dollar goes to an operational requirement, be it gas, be it safe houses, be it intelligence sources, be it analysis, be it phones and communication, satellite communications, medical equipment, all kinds of stuff is where the money goes. People will say, well, you know, Afghanistan is yesterday's news. Well, I have 7 LPRs that really beg to differ this week that are in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
They would disagree with that. People will say, well, the war in Ukraine isn't a big deal. Well, we're working a number of Americans trapped behind enemy lines, so that's not true either. But even beyond that, we're talking about things, we're building infrastructure and for a possible China-Taiwan situation, which is highly likely to happen. And as recent as this morning, we got a request from an American who's stuck in Mexico because the cartel and the Mexican government just went to war with each other this morning. So, where does the money go? To saving lives. All the things that go into saving a life. That's what we're all about. I don't really do a lot of humanitarian aid stuff. I don't donate water or no generator left behind. We don't really do that sort of thing. This is all about saving a life and all the things that go into saving a life.
And for you listening, what better possible investment could you make? And it doesn't, I've said this so many times, it's great to have a lot to give a lot, but if a lot of people gave a little, a big difference winds up being produced, and that big difference is bringing freedom, returning freedom to the people that Project Dynamo are going into a lot of dangerous places, taking a lot of risks, and bringing these people back into freedom and liberty. Learn more at ProjectDynamo.org. Donate at ProjectDynamo.org. Here's their founder, Brian Stern. Brian, thank you for the work that you and your incredible team are doing. I know when I get done with the show today, you're getting a donation out of me, and I hope you listening will follow my lead. And, Brian, thank you for doing the work that you do.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your generosity, and thank you to the generosity of your listeners. We need your help. Our demand signal is increasing, not decreasing, and there are lots of Americans in very bad spots, and no one's coming for them, and we're usually their last resort. So I really appreciate any generosity that anyone can afford, even though times are tough. I very much appreciate it.